From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on September 16th, 2024, from South Carolina Public Radio Studios here in Columbia. And if you're listening on the 17th, happy birthday to my mother, Teresa.
Happy birthday!
That mother, Teresa, Terry to friends. On this episode of The Lead, we preview some of the big news happening this week, including two controversial figures who will be speaking at USC on Wednesday evening, one of whom is named Gavin. But that's not the controversy. Also, the first execution in 13 years in South Carolina is set to take place on Friday. And there was major breaking news over the weekend. An alleged armed assassin was apprehended by authorities at one of former President Donald Trump's golf courses on Sunday, just hundreds of yards away from the former president. We hear from Senator Lindsey Graham and Trump's running mate, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, who doubles down on the fake pet story causing problems for folks in Springfield, Ohio. And we catch up with the AP's Meg Kinnard and communications consultant Rob Godfrey about the importance of presidential debates, Taylor Swift, and more. It's me, hi. I'm the Gavin. It's me. Give us a shout at 803-563-7169. I can't think of any more Taylor Swift puns right now, but if you have some, leave me a whole song lyric-laden voicemail at 803-563-7169. Let me know what's on your mind, folks. It's getting cooler out there. How's your psyche doing, Carolina fans? We need to hear how you're doing. It's a big weekend. 803-563-7169. I'm letting you make this into a sports podcast. On tap for this week, up in Congress, we're still waiting to see how they're going to avoid a government shutdown as the end of the fiscal year nears.
Awesome.
We're always doing this every year. On the economic calendar, the Federal Open Market Committee meets this week, and we'll see how much the Fed cuts interest rates by come Wednesday. We'll have a full pod for you on Saturday about that and more. And a little notable highlight for you this week, on Wednesday evening at the University of South Carolina, Uncensored America will host the roast of Kamala Harris with right-wing provocateur Milo Yiannopoulos and Gavin McGinnis, founder of the right-wing extremist group The Proud Boys. You may remember them from participating in past events like the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville in August 2017 and the attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. Well, they'll be here in Columbia Wednesday night. I'll be on the ground, so stand by for some updates from that. The state is also set to execute Freddie Owens on Friday at Broad River Correctional Institution here in Columbia. No one from our news team will be witnessing the lethal injection, but we will have coverage following the execution and bring that to you next Tuesday, as well as on SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. The state Supreme Court has refused to stop the execution of Owens following appeals last week. The AP reports that the governor has said he will follow longtime tradition and not announce his decision until prison officials make a call from the death chamber minutes before the execution. Governor McMaster told reporters he hasn't decided what to do in Owens' case, but as a former prosecutor, he respects jury verdicts and court decisions. Moving on, the U.S. Secret Service fired upon Ryan Routh, who was suspected of attempting to assassinate former President Donald Trump while he golfed at one of his Florida courses in West Palm Beach on Sunday. Local authorities said the gunman was about 400 to 500 yards away from Trump and was hiding in shrubbery when a Secret Service agent walking the course a hole ahead of Trump saw the rifle muzzle and fired 4 to 6 rounds on the position. Routh then fled, but not before a witness took a photo of his vehicle and license plate, leading to his quick apprehension. This attempt comes 9 weeks after Trump narrowly escaped an assassination attempt at the hands of Thomas Matthew Crooks at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. On Monday morning, Routh was charged with 2 federal gun crimes, a felon in possession of a firearm and possession of a firearm with an obliterated serial number. President Joe Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris, and her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, have all condemned violence, political and otherwise, and have said in statements they're glad that Trump is safe. Trump, in an interview with Fox News Digital on Monday, said that the accused gunman, quote, believed the rhetoric of Biden and Harris, and he acted on it. Their rhetoric is causing me to be shot at when I am the one who's going to save the country and they are the ones that are destroying the country, both from the inside and out, quote. That was Trump there talking about rhetoric causing violence. Ralph's motive is not known at this time, but the AP reports he had expressed support for Trump online as recently as 2020. But in recent years, his posts suggest he's soured on him, expressing support for Biden and Harris. Coming back down here to South Carolina, on This Week in South Carolina, well, it's back in action, folks, and we kicked off the new season with an all-star lineup giving us the latest on where things stand with the election looming. Joining me was Associated Press national politics reporter Meg Kinnard and communications consultant Rob Godfrey, who worked in the Haley administration, but not on the presidential campaign. Here's Rob on the importance of debates.
I think we're in a shifting period of whether debates matter, because not just to people, to 67 million people watched on debate night, but people watch clips of it over and over again on social media, every platform from X to Facebook to TikTok to Reels on Instagram. And so there are these viral moments that each of these candidates take away. Their campaigns don't just take them away, but they shoot for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you know, an issue like abortion, which is a strong one for Vice President Harris, what she has said, we've seen video footage of it over and over again on social media, just like we have with the former president and his riff on what's happening allegedly to people's pets, but also, for the former president, also what he talked about on the economy. So I think debates do matter on the national stage. Debates are going to matter more and more as people put more and more stock into what the digital impact of these things are. Not just traditional television, which also matters too.
And it's not just those viral like clips of video. I mean, I went to bed at an embarrassingly late hour after the debate because I had a lot of work to do and it's hard to wind down. But just scrolling through my Instagram feed, all I saw, and this isn't just because it's like the accounts I follow, it's like things that were just being promoted, memes and pictures and facial expressions and that split screen, you know. It seems kind of maybe funny in the moment, but that is exactly what Rob's talking about, the kind of thing that's going to be resonating and recirculating. And if we don't have another debate, that's all we're going to know from debates between Harris and Trump. And, you know, there are a lot of young voters who might be interested to keep watching that.
And that's that entryway into covering and understanding politics.
Debate night is when rapid response teams are at their peaks. Mm-hmm. And so the rapid response teams for both of these campaigns got clips out that will live online forever.
Rob, I want to move a little bit more and talk about your previous boss, Nikki Haley. You're her comms director there. She's still very visible after ending her campaign, her presidential bid there. She spoke in primetime at the Republican National Convention. Mm-hmm. She has a new high-profile gig. She is traveling the world. She was just recently in Taiwan. She just sat down with Face the Nation's Margaret Brennan over the weekend. And she mentioned that she has not been deployed by the Trump campaign to go and campaign on his behalf. Is that a mistake by the Trump campaign not to use Nikki Haley?
You'd have to ask the Trump campaign what their calculus is there. Obviously, Governor Haley is a tremendously effective surrogate. Wherever she goes, when she takes on an issue or takes up a fight, we've seen that for years. But what we also have to concede is that she and former President Trump had a particularly tough primary, and she made some arguments about his fitness for office that may be tough to square if you get back on the campaign trail and campaign for him, because there are going to be reporters covering those events that she does and asking her questions about how she squares those things. I know that she's done that when she's made these appearances on Face the Nation, but you know the question is, you know, what swath of voters are you trying to win over, and does she actually win those voters over, and who were those Haley voters by the end of the campaign? Who were running up some of those margins against Donald Trump. And if those were voters who were simply casting protest votes, their minds are already made up. So I think it's an open question about whether it would be an effective strategy.
She also, just one thing to piggyback on that, she also said repeatedly during the Republican primary campaign that America is either going to end up with a President Nikki Haley or President Kamala Harris.
Call it.
She said it over and over and over. And clearly, Nikki Haley is out of the campaign. Kamala Harris is at the top of the Democratic ticket. That doesn't necessarily, if you follow that argument along, mean huge support for Donald Trump in that head-to-head matchup. So the Trump Trump campaign is probably also remembering that, too.
And speaking of viral videos, I'm sure that's a viral video that would follow her to each of those events, thanks to the Kamala Harris social media effort.
And I was going to say, also, it's probably saving her some face with her supporters, because she is still getting blowback for endorsing him. But, Meg, you've traveled a good bit with Senator J.D. Vance, Ohio Senator there, who's the running mate for President Trump, former president. Is Vance helping or hurting the ticket from what we've seen so far, especially when you look at, you know, who could have been on that ticket, and possibly Tim Scott, maybe Nikki Haley, but that was always doubtful in my opinion. But then you look at these big moments, you get the big endorsement by Taylor Swift for Kamala Harris, holding her cat in her Instagram post. They're referencing the childless cat ladies that J.D. Vance has spoken about. Then you also have Vance amplifying that false story about Haitian immigrants in Ohio, his state. Is he helping or hurting at this point based on these things and others?
J.D. Vance was definitely promoted for this job of running mate by a lot of people, including Donald Trump Jr. And one of the things that he liked about J.D. Vance was his ability to make those kind of spicy arguments and to bring up topics that maybe Donald Trump necessarily isn't going to be talking about, although we did hear him talk about Springfield, Ohio, and a lot of the same things that Vance has been echoing there. But, you know, they liked him because he is that kind of forceful sort of, you know, I don't really care what the reaction is. I'm just going to go out and say it. And, you know, when I've been along the campaign trail and talking to voters and seeing reaction to him, there's a lot of support, but it is kind of, I often wonder, you know, what if we were in a situation where there were someone who was more to the moderate end of the conservative spectrum, like some of those other people that you just mentioned, would that kind of balance out the Republican ticket? Because that's definitely not what's happening with J.D. Vance as part of it. It's, you know, he does consider himself to be a relatively new Republican, all things considered. He wasn't a backer of Donald Trump when Donald Trump first ran for president. And he's talked about that and says he's explained it. But he is now very much in line with a lot of the topics and policy positions that Donald Trump has adopted as he's evolved from candidate to president, now to candidate again. And I haven't really heard from a lot of people who would be in that persuadable middle of voters who are like, yeah, J.D. Vance does it for me. That's why I now consider myself to be a Donald Trump voter in this fall's election. We got plenty of runway left, but I'm not exactly sure if anybody who wasn't already decided that they were going to be supporting Donald Trump is won over by J.D. Vance now being on that ticket.
Mm-hmm. And then when we look at that Taylor Swift endorsement, I mean, that came out Tuesday night right after the debate. How big is that for the Harris campaign?
They're certainly very happy about it. Mm-hmm. And it was a big moment that came when there were a lot of eyeballs among political watchers. Anybody who'd stayed up for that debate, all of a sudden when that Instagram post hit, you know, they were still up and paying attention. But again, I don't know, similar to what I was just saying, I don't know how many people are persuaded by that. I mean, clearly Taylor Swift is one of the biggest pop stars and celebrities on the planet right now. I think she has more than 250 million followers on Instagram, which that's just a number, but it's a really big number. Yeah. But again, you know, it's something great for the Harris campaign, to, as Rob was saying, to be putting out in social media, to be talking about and saying like, oh, look at the support that we are building. But in terms of persuadable voters, I'm not exactly sure what it gets them, but it is a pretty cool thing for them to be able to be out there talking about in the next 2 months or so.
And you heard us there talking about Taylor Swift, who on Sunday, Trump tweeted in all caps, "I hate Taylor Swift." Those were his words, "I hate Taylor Swift." Now, it's worth noting that on Wednesday, the day after Swift's endorsement, Trump said on Fox News that she, quote, would probably pay a price for it in the marketplace, quote, talking about that endorsement of Harris. The Washington Post reports that within 15 hours of Swift's endorsement of Harris, that much anticipated announcement drove about 338,000 visits to vote.gov, the federal voter registration site that the singer linked to on an Instagram story post. It is unclear how many of her fans actually registered to vote. High traffic, that's a big number, especially when you think about swing voters. Now, I previously misstated the number of Instagram followers Swift has, which totals 284 million. The 34-year-old Swift was born in the crucial swing state of Pennsylvania, the Keystone State. Now, a recent national ABC Ipsos poll found that 81% of adults polled said that Swift's endorsement made no difference to them, while 13% said they were less likely to endorse Harris because of it, and 6% said they were more likely. Those responding negatively were overwhelmingly Trump supporters. Jumping to the Sunday shows, Senator Lindsey Graham was asked by Shannon Bream on Fox News Sunday how Trump would end the war in Ukraine. This came when she asked about Trump's debate answer about just wanting the war to end, making it sound like he would give territory away to Russia.
Yeah, he's right to want to end the war in a way not to start a new war. The last person I would listen to about how to end the war is the Biden administration or the Obama team. In 2014, we had an end of the war in Ukraine. It led to another invasion. Here's what Trump will do. He will end the war in a way not to entice China to invade Taiwan. He will end the war in Ukraine in a way to prevent a third invasion. Biden has no plan to end this war that is effective. I am listening to Zelensky. He has a plan that's coming out in about a week. What we need here is an American president that can get Putin and Zelensky in a room to end this war to make sure we don't have another war. The whole world is watching. We need an American president to put Iran back in a box before they get a nuclear weapon. We need an American president to secure our border and go back to rational immigration policy. We need an American president that will stand up to radical Islam and make us strong. If we do not change course, Iran's going to have a nuclear weapon. There's going to be a 9/11 attack on our country. And if we don't watch it, Putin's going to keep marching through Europe. It is now time to change course and change people and put Trump back in charge, because when he was president of the United States, none of this was happening.
Sticking with the Sunday shows, more follow-up to the fake story about Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio. Vice presidential candidate and Ohio Senator J.D. Vance was on CNN's State of the Union with Dana Bash, where she asked why Vance continues to elevate falsehoods that endanger those in the community.
Well, Dana, first of all, what's putting the residents of Springfield at risk, which was a town completely ignored by the American media until Donald Trump and I started surfacing some of these concerns, is that they can't afford housing, they can't afford health care. The schools have been overwhelmed, the hospitals have been overwhelmed, and they're overwhelmed because Kamala Harris allowed 20,000 Haitian migrants to get dropped into a small Ohio town of about 40,000 people, and it's completely overwhelmed the services. Now, you ask, why have I talked about some of the things that I've been talking about? Let me just say this. My constituents have brought approximately a dozen separate concerns to me. 10 of them are verifiable and confirmable, and a couple of them I talk about because my constituents are telling me firsthand that they're seeing these things. So I have two options, Dana. I can ignore them, which is what the American media has done for years to this community, or I can actually talk about what people are telling me. And of course, many of the things that the media says are completely baseless have since been confirmed. For example, I was told, Dana, that by the American media, that it was baseless that migrants were capturing the geese from the local park pond and eating them. And yet there are 911 calls from well before this ever became a viral sensation of people complaining about that exact thing happening. So my attitude is, listen to my constituents. Sometimes they're going to say things that people don't like, but they're saying things that people don't like because their town has been overwhelmed, and it's my job to try to fight for them and to protect them. Kamala Harris opened the border, and now these people are suffering. That's what I'm focused on, Dana.
Senator, I have to go through several things that you just said. First of all, the Clark County Sheriff and the Ohio Department of Natural Resources reviewed 11 months of 911 calls. They only identified two instances of people alleging Haitians were taking geese out of parks. They found zero evidence to substantiate those claims. Also, other evidence that you have talked about, even you've retweeted alleged evidence, are unsourced social media videos from a different city, apparently no connection to Haitians. And this is from a conservative activist who offered a $5,000 reward for such things. And then going just backly to the schools and the hospitals and so forth being overwhelmed, nobody is disputing that the town of Springfield, Ohio, needs help. But you're not just a bystander. You're the senator from Ohio. So instead of saying things that are wrong and actually causing the hospitals, the schools, the government buildings to be evacuated because of bomb threats, because of the cats and dogs thing, why not actually be constructive in helping to better integrate them into the community? Because there are a lot of employers there who say that the Haitian workers are helping fill jobs that they need desperately filled.
Dana, first of all, let me just respond to a couple of things that you said, but I want to start with something you said, which I think is frankly disgusting and is more appropriate for a Democratic propagandist than it is for an American journalist. There is nothing that I have said that has led to threats against these hospitals. These hospitals, the bomb threats and so forth, it's disgusting. The violence is disgusting. We condemn it. We condemn all violence.
Senator, this happened after you and
but
President
say,
Trump
no, no, no,
were
Dana,
on,
no,
the,
Dana,
on the debate
say,
stage said
Dana,
that cats
no,
and dogs
you
were
asked,
being
you, you asked a question, Dana, and I'm going to go ahead and answer it.
Vance repeated himself another time, saying that he and Trump created these stories to garner media attention. Here's how he clarified that.
Dana, it comes from firsthand accounts from my constituents. I say that we're creating a story, meaning we're creating the American media focusing on it. I didn't create 20,000 illegal migrants coming into Springfield thanks to Kamala Harris's policies. Her policies did that, but yes, we created the actual focus that allowed the American media to talk about this story and the suffering caused by Kamala Harris's policies.
Now, to really put this to bed, because it's so thoroughly debunked, the woman who wrote the Facebook post about all of this said it was a secondhand story heard from a neighbor about a cat going missing. And the neighbor's belief that it was Haitians in the neighborhood who were responsible. This according to NBC News. The woman regretted the post and took it down. So please, folks, please let it end. I don't want to talk about the dogs and the cats anymore. Welcome to the wind down section, our little break from the news. We're glad you're here, A.T. Shire. This is our chance to talk about what's going on in the world.
Yes, yes, it is. It truly is, Gavin.
So lay one of those voicemails on me, baby.
I got a bad news for you.
You can't give me bad news. This is the wind down section.
I got nothing to lay on you, bud, except the bad news that there is nothing to lay. Okay? There's no calls.
I just was
here,
told.
Listen to this. That's empty.
No.
Hold on, listen to this again.
Why you keep playing it?
Yeah, listen to that. Can you believe that? Clunk, clunk, clunk.
Maybe it's time we change the voicemail greeting, do you think?
I don't think so.
You think that's what's stopping people?
I think that's the wrongest thing to do in this scenario. I think what we should do
is talking about
triple down, maybe talk more sports, you know? It's not an us problem. It's everybody else.
Okay, let's talk more about the sports. Whoa, how about the Gamecocks get robbed there by the Bellevue Tigers?
I don't really want to harp on this, but I do want to use my platform here.
to elevate.
If anyone listening knows someone in who's like lives next door to the coaching staff of the Gamecocks, maybe we're a state senator who complies, put some pressure. I'm calling for collusion here. Tell them to throw it over the middle, please. I'm going to get into the weeds just for 1 second here, Gavin. Okay.
I regret this already.
Can we take a three-step drop and throw a slant, please, Lenore Sellers? I know that he's hurt, but can we please throw it over the middle? Anybody, please make that happen.
You heard it here first,
Thank
folks.
You. And I'm going to leave it there at that.
Thank
okay?
you.
But Gavin, the psyche, it's broken.
Yeah,
over
you know,
town.
And I told the folks that we were going to be on the ground reporting from the ground there at USC, Williams, Bryce, Willie B. The vibes were good, you know.
For a long time.
Yes. I was at a couple tailgates. You were expecting everyone to come out at halftime. They did not do that like they typically do because the game was afoot.
It was compelling.
Yeah. So it's so interesting to see when that actually happens. And then the whole thing with Georgia. Did Georgia lose to Kentucky? They came close to losing to Kentucky after we beat
Kentucky.
In
like a field goal game. Yeah, basically we almost beat Georgia.
So I don't. Yes, exactly.
Transitive property says we're pretty good.
Therefore, not Clemson, but Clemson. Yeah, I guess Clemson. Yeah. So
I do gotta say, I was sitting next to one of the more confusing people in the game. He was decked out head to toe in LSU garb. Okay, and he was doing all the Tiger chants.
Oh,
you know,
God bless.
But he was also doing the USC chants.
Okay.
Yeah, I was confused. He was hitting them with the Gamecock first down, and he was doing the motions and saying the stuff, and I was like, what's your deal? Are you Are you a cock guy or a tiger
behind
guy?
Behind enemy lines.
Yeah, I was very confused.
Hard to blend in, though, if he's head to toe decked out with LSU gear.
Yeah, he was very loudly doing the tiger chants, and for a while that was fine. And then by the end,
it gets old.
There were people staring at him, you know? And I told him on that last one when they took the lead, I touched him on his shoulder and I said, maybe don't scream this one out, you know? We've been cool this whole time. I'm not mad.
What are we accomplishing here?
Yeah, know? Maybe don't. That guy in front of you, he's pissed.
We don't want to hear that right
now. That guy's really pissed, you know?
Especially if you're an army of one surrounded by, the enemy. We don't want that, sir.
No, it was cool, though. It was fine. It was a great day. It was gorgeous outside.
Yes, it was perfect.
The tailgates were hitting.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah. It's probably a good thing that they didn't win because I feel like I'd still be tailgating, correct? Right? We'd be like, whoa, man, we live in the high life on this one.
We blew it real bad. I'm glad that I'm not as invested in the Gamecocks as the Eagles because I would be spiritually broken
right
now.
I will say I did search. I'm like, okay, when's this game? Oh, good, it's Monday night, so I have nothing to worry about. Right. The podcast will be done.
And then
the ennui will be what it is.
By Friday, the ennui will have broken probably, depending on if the Eagles win or lose.
Well, depending on how Rena takes the win or loss.
Praying she goes to sleep by kickoff. You know what I mean?
Babe, you gotta watch the game.
Caitlin will definitely be asleep. It is not fair to new parents to have two straight night games, okay? That's not fair, all right?
Well, I will say that since we have nothing else to talk about and I want to get off sports,
yes.
I did watch the Netflix show The Perfect Couple with Nicole Kidman. Totally worth the watch.
Caitlin has been watching that without me, and that's fine.
Oh,
I don't
binged all six.
It.
I mean, had to do it.
I don't care. I just keep calling it Pretty Little Lies.
Everything she does turns to gold.
It's the same thing.
Well, it's the one with just like the one she did with Hugh Grant. I mean, it's the same thing.
I always walk in for the last 5 minutes of an episode, and everyone is dour. And so I'm just like, I don't know, whatever. It's just not a show for me.
Not going to lie, it's very similar to The Undoing from 2020.
Oh,
okay?
We're coming undone. Yes,
but
we're coming undone.
It was her, it was Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant this time. It's her and Liev Schreiber.
Yes, Sabretooth.
Who, I mean, ever since, I remember him from the Scream episodes, it's always like, always suspect.
Ray Donovan.
I'm not going to ruin anything here, but.
You don't trust him?
I can't even. It was a good break from all the murder She Wrote that I've been rewatching.
That's when
you know fall is here because I'm back in my Murder, She Wrote.
Yes.
I have a cove. I'm bundled up, even though it's still very warm outside. But fall's almost here, folks.
Everyone, you can start wearing
your jeans.
Anyone that listens to
boots.
South of Spookies knows that Gavin is a big Murder, She Wrote person.
Oh, yeah.
Cabot Cove denizen. We know that. Anyway, it's almost time for you guys to listen again.
Yeah.
5G. Fifth G. Anyway, Gavin, keep going. Let it go. End the show.
Give us a call, people. We need some material here. Let us know what you're watching. Let us know about your theories when it comes to football or conspiracies. No, please don't give us any conspiracy theories. We will not air those. But give us a shout, 803-563-7169. You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. The South Carolina Lead is a production of South Carolina Public Radio. Our producer is A.T. Shire. Amy Crouch is our supervising producer. Sean Birch is our executive producer. This podcast is produced with support from PRX and is made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, as well as listener contributions to the ETV Endowment of South Carolina. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
It's been here the whole time. I don't think so. It's right there. It's
the fact that no one's talking about it.
Yeah, thank you.
The fact that no one's talking about it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay.